Welcome back to We Got Goosebumps, a podcast dedicated to the landmark horror series for children, written by R.L. Stine back in the 90s. I'm your eccentric spirit Halloween clerk, Dylan.
And I'm your best friend who loves scaring you until you pee. I'm Travis.
Ooh, that's actually one of my many fetishes. Hello, Travis.
Huh. Hey, well.
I might have to invite you over sometime soon.
Denied. Mm. All right.
That's going to make our trip together in a month. It's just wicked awkward. Not a month. 2 months. Month and a half?
Yeah, 2 months or so. Yeah, roughly two. Yeah. You know what? I'll let you pee on me when you get one pee pass.
No, I'm not peeing. No. You scare me.
Oh,
then
you let me pee on you?
No. But you scare me, then I pee. I'm assuming I'm dressed. I'm not like...
Actually, it seems like a fair
trade. Like, you scare the shit out of me. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. Okay. Today we're talking about R.L. Stine's brief foray into water sports and golden showers, which is, not what this series is about. I'm sorry. Sorry. We're talking about number 11 in the landmark horror series for children. We got Goosebumps. Goosebumps is the name of the book series. I'm sorry. I had another website open. I'm just going to close this. Boop. Okay. So today we're talking about The Haunted Mask, which is the 11th in the series, and it was released in September of 1993. But more importantly, this is the first episode of Season 2 of We Got Goosebumps, the landmark podcast dedicated to the... I get stuck in those verbal trains. I'll let you talk. I'm gonna step back. I need to...
Okay. Well, hey, I'm excited because, you know, a lot of people said it wouldn't be done. They said these guys are going to do one season and they're going to flame out. They're going to do what all podcasters do. They're going to get into that rock and roll lifestyle, turn to cocaine, and fall off a moving train somewhere near Decatur. But you know what we did? We stuck through it. We did a few bonus episodes. We're back for season two. We've got 9 after this for season 2, and then we'll call it quits again and then come back for season 3. It's easy to do. We figured it
out.
We're going to do it.
We might come back.
I think we will.
We might. We might. I do have to say, if we are starting a new season, which we are, I don't know why I'm saying that as if we may or may not.
You said
actually start a new season of this show, The Haunted Mask is the way to do it. The Haunted Mask was like one of like the top 5 ones for me as a kid. I had like a few that I read to rags, basically. The ones that I remember the most, like when we're reading here, I'll catch little turns of phrase. I loved Stay Out of the Basement as a kid. I understand the up the stairs, down the stairs thing. But as a kid, I loved Stay Out of the Basement, probably because it was so much like my own childhood growing up with the mad scientist dad and doing crazy experiments in the basement and all that stuff. But The Haunted Mask was high on the list for me also, where I just, reading it again was fascinating for me because it's a hard book in some ways compared to like this one felt almost like dancing a line of being truly upsetting in some regards.
yeah, there is the whole, you know, you're always a little more brave behind a mask, and this taps into, I don't know, some psychoanalytical, like, you know, when you're hidden, you kind of give yourself permission to do things, you know, when no one can see you, and that kind of comes out here, and it's really interesting.
Like that concept has been around basically since the Invisible Man, the idea of if you can't be seen, then who's watching you? And in fact, there's been studies that show like just the image of an eye on someone makes them feel like they know it's a picture or whatever, but it makes them follow rules more to have like an image of an eye watching over them. So like if you even take away like that level where you're invisible or you're masked and no one can see who you are, you know, you get some wackiness. That's going to make this a little more uneasy when I say like, I love masks. Like I love masks.
Do you have some? Were you like, gosh, I'm blanking, but were you Corey Feldman in Jason 4, where he just was making all these creepy maps.
You're saying all kinds of things that are upsetting to me. Jason 4? Like, come on. It's Friday the 13th.
I knew you knew what I was saying. Friday. I was trying to come back quick. I couldn't even think of, what is it? What's his name? Freddy Jr. in the movie? What is it? Freddy Prinze?
No.
What's Corey Feldman's character's name? Joey Baskerville?
No, Corey Feldman plays Tommy Jarvis.
Final
boys in horror movies.
That's right.
And
Corey Feldman's actually a final boy in life.
That is true.
Yeah. The other Corey didn't make it. Phoenix, not so much. If you think about it, he's the final boy.
That's really upsetting. Why did you have to do it? Oh, God. Is this?
I have other upsetting things to talk about.
We're going to talk about them. No, I was not like little Tommy Jarvis and having, I did have some masks, obviously, as a child. I had my own upsetting, scary mask it wasn't a monster. And I feel like I was almost inspired by this book to be like, I want a really scary mask. And the scariest mask that I found, was a gentleman whose face is just all lines because of the agony of the fact that he has a knife going through the side of his head. Whoa. And like a really long black hair thing over his head, like just the worst like yarn hair basically that you can imagine. But like, I don't know what it's supposed to be except a guy with a knife through his head. And so I would just, you know, walk around like a creep looking like that. That was fun. But, you know, I have my Jason mask, which you've seen in this, like, my Discord avatar. And
fun fact about Dylan, folks, he joined the Discord, and his avatar for a long time was a Jason mask. And
it was me as Jason.
Well, that's the thing. As masks go, we're not really sure if it's him or not. But everyone's kind of tiptoeing around this guy because, you know, he joins in April. It's not Halloween. So we're like, whoa, it's this guy real into masks, huh? Turns out it's Dylan. He's a great dude. But for a while, we were like, maybe he'll stab some of us. We should tread lightly.
That's not precluded. I might vigorously stab any number of you at some point.
That's fine. But I'm just glad you didn't do it right away. I mean, the long con's one thing. That's respectful. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I'm not.
I mean, stabbing us out of the gate, that would have been
no fun. And that's like the easy gag or the, you know, it's low hanging fruit. It's just like, if I had murdered you when we first met up to see Last Podcast on the Left.
Oh, yeah.
not only was it the first time we met in person, but to do it when we're meeting at a true crime podcast, like, fucking tasteless.
Right.
It's tasteless. Like, it's gaudy.
Come on.
It's cheap. That's
the kind of story Riley Sager writes, you know, who I like, but it is cheesy. But yeah, did I say it wrong? Is it Sager? You gave
me
a look.
I just have no idea who you're talking about.
Oh, right. I guess that would make sense. I was reading the book, an improv book from the 70s, and they're talking about mask play as one of their sort of big experiments or like things they would do to get people to come out of character, or like, especially when they were teaching, because, you know, you're hiding yourself and it let people be more free, and they were more free of judgment on stage and help people get over like a lot of their inhibitions. But then after some time, it would devolve into chaos, and like very serious crimes would be committed on stage by people. So masks do have this weird, psychological effect. Now, the one in this one seems to have more of a sort of a paranormal effect over Carly, or at least that's the way I think R.L. Stine wants it to seem. But deep, deep down, I'm like, nah, I think her inner self is coming out and she's unleashing the beast. So maybe we'll save that for later, but I think it all ties into masks are certainly worth being fascinated by even still as an adult.
I'll show you my mask collection when I see you next time.
You'll bring them in a trunk?
I guess by definition, I was always going to be showing you my mask collection. But this would be more of a, like, may look at my display.
As long as I don't join your mask collection.
No, that's gross.
Like in skin?
Yeah, no.
That's a good story.
I don't want to wear you. I just want to be you. All right.
Easy there, Buffalo
Bill. Talking
about,
when we're talking about like wearing a mask, what we're really talking about is like a person's face cover, and like what a cover says about face is often as much as it'd say about a book. Let's talk about the cover of this book. The Haunt.
What a segue. Oh my God.
It's terrible, but I built a bridge in midair with that segue and got us to the other side, and we only lost 3 busloads of orphans. And they didn't have parents to take care of them anyway, so.
Why does the UK cover look like Shrek's girlfriend got hit by a bus?
You just jumped straight, you skipped the United States version just so you could get in.
No, I needed to get that in. We'll save Tim for last. Tim's the best. I think we should hit international first. The UK, what are they doing? They still got their jelly. They got Mrs. Shrek there. What's with the finger? I think that disturbs me more than anything. What, is she supposed to be Nixon?
I'm going to say, it's not even, because it's a hook. It's like she's doing Captain Hook. She's doing like the less imagined, like the child who didn't think to get a hanger to pretend to have a hook, like decide to, like, I'm going to use the crook. That's not scary. That looks like you're doing something suggestive. I don't understand, except it's pointed the wrong way. That's unsettling. Do you know what Mad Balls were? They were like a toy in the 80s. It looks like a Mad Ball sitting on top of a thing.
It does.
Pudding, and then there's an old woman under it, because that hand does not belong to a child. There's wrinkles on it. Like, no. It is a hand that is like, help me.
That's an adult finger.
I'm in the pudding with my Mad Ball.
I mean, the good news is, and you pointed this out pre-recording, it seems like whoever drew it this time actually read the book. That's a first.
Oh, yeah. Like, it is a grotesque monster face on the little girl's head.
Right. With the teeth are jagged. It's green. I mean, they did more than read the title. You could read Haunted Mask and draw whatever, but it looks like somebody at least made it halfway through the book before they started drawing that abomination.
Yeah.
Good job, UK. You disappoint us. But you're maybe getting better.
We'll see next time.
What's another international one that catches your eye?
I'm going to say, let's do the first French one, because that's just in the next one there. And I can't. The more I look at it, holy shit. Like, what the fuck is this?
I know, right? You might not get this reference. It looks like Devin Townsend, the lead singer of Strapping Young Lad back when he had a skullet, could also pass for Angus Young if he shaved the very top
also,
of his head.
It looks like the guy from Rocky Horror Picture Show, the bald guy with the long fringe of hair, mm-hmm. if he had dyed his hair orange and his skin was green, and he was wearing a very fashionable coat, like a pea coat, over a black polka-dotted dress.
I will say, I like it. I think it's creepy as hell.
It is horrifying. Like, and it looks dead. Like, the face is just like, it looks like a cadaver. Mm-hmm. And then there's
like, you don't even realize that's supposed to be on a little girl.
It's upsetting.
It is. But the French didn't stop there, man.
Whew. No, the French decided to double down with something more surreal, but I also like it.
I like it too. I don't even know how you would describe this. I mean, it kind of harkens to like the part of the mask described in the book that where it's so tight. So this is like a very tight-fitted mask being stretched down over someone's face. It's the hair. I mean, other than the fact that the eyebrows look like they belong to one of the Muppets, the hair is so frizzy and, like, I don't know, sparse, but sort of like static has gotten a hold of it. That's a hair effect I don't see often, and I'm very off-put by.
Yeah, I love both the French cover. It even has, like, a scar on the cheek. Like, it just, like with the stitching, like, just this level of, and these two masks, like, look more like what I thought the mask in the book looked like, whereas an over-the-head thing, whereas the French mask looks like it's just over the face, because that's definitely Carly Beth's actual hair coming off the top.
That's a good point.
I was imagining something more like the second French cover, where it's, like, over the head, mm-hmm. stretchy as hell, and, like, just wraps around the face.
Yeah. Good call. Now, the Dutch, they never disappoint.
They might not get it right, but they don't disappoint.
They really like to show the main characters on the cover and not so much the spook. They always sort of veil the spooky thing, and they really want to show you their white children. So they have that, but then you can see what I guess we suspect to be our main character in the mask, but it's like you described over top of the head, but it's like, you know, all like veiny and the head's sort of misshapen and looks kind of like an alien. It's all like something out of Ninja Turtles almost.
Yeah. It kind of looks like, the main villain in Wishmaster, kind of. Like, I don't know if you remember that guy, but he's a djinn or whatever. But, it always reminds me of, like, Hardy Boys covers, because, like, the Hardy Boys were always caught in the act of, like, something happening off screen or off page, like shining flashlights at like something that's coming at. So it always, you have these two children, one of whom looks like he's pushing his friend towards Carly Beth, who's towering over them. Just a massive Carly Beth. Like, the mask also gave her height and
right. She's stocky.
Yeah. And she's wearing like a baggy trench coat. Like, I guess that she might've stolen from those children that she thought were, whatever, Cody and Chase or whatever their names were.
Yeah, she's got a real build in that one. But yeah, it's kind of neat. And then I guess the next one that would catch my eye would be the Vietnamese one, which, gosh, it's difficult to describe. I guess that's supposed to be the mask after it's been ripped off someone's face. It's kind of in tatters, but it's in this real surreal perspective where I think it's supposed to be Carly Beth running inside the mask's mouth with lights or something. It looks, and the mask looks like somebody put clown makeup on a cat. Am I close?
I think so.
It's really weird. We got the link in the show notes, folks, if you want to click and go and browse these yourself. They're neat to look at. The other one for me is the Indonesian cover, which, man, I got to say, I don't think they read the book.
It reminds me of those movie posters from Ghana. If you've ever seen those, Berger loves to post those everywhere he goes. But like, it's this kind of very thick painting style with chunky lines and everything. Like, this is it, like, this almost looks like liquid chalk or something. Like, I don't know. Like, just very bold, expressionistic. No fucking clue what it's saying.
No, it's,
love it.
Bizarre. I think it's supposed to be the shop owner, given the cloak. I don't know. I'm not sure. They were going for something.
I think maybe the spider scorpion thing is like the spirit of the mask, maybe like infecting Carl. I don't know either.
I don't know either. Are we ready to talk about Tim Jacobus's work though?
Yes, let's talk about Tim Jacobus, even though I think he also got the mask wrong.
Yeah, I like what you pointed out in that it should be going completely over the head, because as we find out in one part of the book, you know, when we try to pull it off, it's like really tight around her neck. And this just seems to go over the face.
But the actual face is the closest to what is described in the book, with the orange glowing eyes. Yeah. I don't think it ever said it had pupils. So all those motherfuckers that put pupils in there, you fucked up. And the big pointed teeth and the, yeah. So I think Tim got the closest in terms of what it looks like. And maybe what he's showing is there are those masks that you don't put over the top of your head, but they have a slit in the back. So you do put it over the front of your face and then like tuck the back. Yeah. So it could be that. So I'll say that.
You're just filling in plot holes, and we're not even in the story. That's what I like about you, Dylan. You make it all make sense.
This story doesn't need to fill plot holes.
It also says, if looks could kill, on the cover, which is a nice little tagline. And also, the mask is drooling, which is interesting. Also, fun fact, Tim Jacobus' niece posed with the mask, or with a mask, and he drew her. So this is apparently Tim Jacobus' niece being depicted.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But that's it for cover talk, I do believe.
Oh, we're not talking about the remastered?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, they don't really change much. So even through to 2003, they don't really change a whole lot. Then in 2008, they do something. I guess it's more representative of the story. It's supposed to be Carly Beth chasing down her nemesis.
No, those are that's the first set of kids.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it's the... it's the poor unsuspecting children that were just out and about for Halloween. Got the pee scared out of them. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't hate it, but I typically just don't like this style versus the originals because I'm a curmudgeon and I'm old.
Mm.
This one's probably the best the remasters or the re-releases.
I don't know. I go back and forth. There's elements of it I love. I kind of love how like Carly Beth is insane looking. Mm-hmm. Not just the mask, but like the mask is terrifying there.
It really is.
With, like, actually glowing eyes. And but also her fingers are like so elongated, they look almost claw-like. I noticed no one brought in the severed head, though. Probably having the severed head of a child on the cover without knowing that it's a fake severed head probably doesn't...
That's a good point. Yeah. I didn't even think about
really
that.
Really worked too well.
Makes me wonder if the UK cover originally had that girl holding a broomstick or something, but then they just erased it.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. They just gave up.
They gave up. Yeah. Mm. But yeah.
Well, I feel that covers. Hey. But, you know... Normally, I would summarize, like, the previous section as we go into the next section. But you know what the next section is? Summarizing the book.
Whoa, hey.
Oh, my God. It's just these...
Gotta get back in
these
the...
These segues.
Gotta get back
it's,
in.
It's... Mmm. Yeah. Get, chapter one. I actually like this setup scene a lot because it's basically another classic R.L. Stine dinner scene, but it's in a cafeteria. Mm. So we get introduced to Carly Beth. Who, A, seems to not like how she looks too much. Like, they talk about her little snip of a nose a lot. And I'm not entirely sure why. It's like, there's other ways to describe a nose besides her little... It was like a snip of a nose, right?
Yeah.
Like, her little turn... Yeah, well, it was weird. But she's small. And we also find out she's easily startled and frightened. And, of course, people think that's hilarious and take advantage of it at every opportunity. Mm-hmm. But she's hanging out with her friend Sabrina, who's, like, the tall, good-looking one. They're children. But that's how they're described. Like, I mean, that's how Carly Beth describes her friend.
Sure.
And they're eating lunch, and they describe the school lunch as being inedible, basically. And so Carly Beth's going to starve to death. Her whole name's Carly Beth. It's not just Carly. But, like, Sabrina's just like, you don't want to eat the mac and cheese. And it's just like, you could just try it. Like, she doesn't even try it.
She doesn't even try
like,
it.
I'm hungry.
That. Try it. Ugh.
And while they're sitting there, Sabrina's just like, you are scared of, like, literally everything. Like, everything. And this comes up because it's almost Halloween. And Carly Beth is just like, maybe I could dress up like a witch or something. And Sabrina's like, no, you're scared of witches. What are you talking about? Why would you dress up like something that scares you like the Batman did? But...
Worked out for him.
It did. And Carly Beth is just like, I'm not scared of witches. And Sabrina's like, witches, ghosts, snakes, bugs, loud noises, everything. You're scared of everything. Like, literally everything. And then we get a charming little story where she scared, like, Sabrina scared the shit out of Carly Beth by saying, like, oh, my attic's haunted. And just had, like, what was it, her brother or one of the two knuckleheads that we meet at the end of this chapter, like, just marching around up in the attic. And it's like, Carly Beth. Come on, like, do a little reconnaissance. Do a little bit of work.
She had a big imagination.
A big imagination, a little bit of brain, maybe. But, I mean, she doesn't actually seem that dumb. She's just very high-strung.
Yeah, yes.
And, like, also seems to hope for the best, but, like, it never happens. Like, everyone's just a dick to her all the time. It's like, if this was in high school, this story would end with, like, badly for everybody.
I do like how her high-strung personality persists because she gets really panicked at some points in the book, and I'm like, man, that fits the character profile so well. I feel like R.L. Stine did a good job of keeping her sort of as she's portrayed off the bat throughout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does go through some major things, but it's all over the course of like two nights, three
yeah,
nights.
It's quick.
Like, it's not a lot of time. So Carly Beth's just like, one day I'll get you. And Sabrina's like, all right, calm down. And she, like, Carly Beth's still on this thing. Like, she wants to, like, be something gross, something creepy, something awful. And then, like, some doorknob drops his tray, spills his lunch everywhere. And it's this kind of this description of the lunchroom scene that just made me like, this is R.L. Stine. Like, talking about, because she describes the, like, She watches two kids playing, like playing catch with a half full thing of milk. And there's other like little moments that he describes like throughout in the chaos of this lunch stream. And so like Carly Beth immediately screams because she hears this lunch tray dropping, and again proves the point. Like, yeah, you be scary, little buddy. You get out there and you scare everybody. And then someone reaches from behind and grabs her shoulder. Dun, bum, bum.
Oh my God. Well, it turns out I mean, we're early. Of course, it's none other than Steve Boswell. He's just being a dick. He says, what? Gotcha. It was Steve. He's just reached his hand.
Steve Boswell.
Steve Boswell.
Not Steve. He's such a piece of shit.
Such a piece of shit, Steve. Oh. I think I feel like I knew a Steve Boswell growing up. I'm not sure. But Steve and then his buddy Chuck Green. I do know a Chuck Green, and that guy is a dick. So, verifiably so. Might be even based on the guy that in the book. I don't even know. But Steve and Chuck, they pull up. They sit down beside Carly Beth and Sabrina here. And it turns out, you know, Steve and Chuck have a history of scaring Carly as well, you know. And they really get off on it too, man. They love coming up with ways to scare her, and they love getting the best of her. And then also, after scaring her, making fun of her for being scared. So, essentially bullies who assault her regularly. And she's just never been able to get them back. Part of it is that she doesn't really know how. She kind of doesn't see herself as someone that could pull off being scary because she's so timid and maybe a bit smaller than her kids her age. So, cards are a bit stacked against her, but she really wants to. She wants nothing more in this world than to get back at, specifically, Steve and Chuck. So Steve offers her some of his sandwich. And she's like, well, this is a weird token of friendship. Maybe he's not so bad. She didn't like that macaroni anyway. Thought it fucking tasted like rubber cheese. And so she's like, okay, thanks.
I do like he gave a valid reason. Like, it's turkey. It's too dry. My mom forgot the mayo. Like,
right? Which,
good.
I prefer a dry turkey, but I could see Steve's problem here. And Carly Beth's like, I'm starving. I'll eat a wet turkey, moist turkey, half-damp turkey, dry turkey. I don't give a shit right now. So she says, fine.
I'll eat the turkey.
I'll bite its neck.
Fresh out the turkey. I'll eat the turkey.
So she takes a bite of the sandwich. It tastes sour and weird. She pulls it away from her mouth. And there in the middle of the sandwich is a motherfucking worm. It's pretty gross.
No, that's not the bum bum bum.
That's pretty gross. It's almost a bum bum bum. It's a fucking worm. It's, obviously, she's upset. She screams, probably throws the sandwich down, probably spits whatever's in her mouth out. Just, ugh. Real gross scene.
There are things that I consider an unacceptable prank. If someone did this to me, there would be violence.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not saying I would successfully enact violence. I'm not a very physical guy. I'm very,
this is, like, almost the worst thing that happens in this book, to be honest.
I would just immediate elbow to the person's face. He's like, oh, just furious.
Exactly.
Just, and if they were just like, I didn't mean to, but like, that worm wasn't there when I gave you. It's like, I'm sorry I broke the cheekbone, but.
My mom sometimes sandwiches with puts worms. Yeah. I guess when she ran out of mayo, she was like, oh, this will probably moisten up the turkey. Yeah, let me get a handful of worms. It turns out, though, it's not a real worm. Steve says, it's not real. It's just rubber. Calm down. It's just rubber. He's like, go ahead. Seriously, it's not even real. Pick it up. Just pick up the worm. She picks it up, and he goes, gotcha, because it was real. The old flippy-dope. The old dippity-dope. You flippy-doped her.
See, when she's down picking up that worm, just uppercut. Oh, right in, man. Just right between the legs and take him down.
But I tell you.
Like, that's... Don't scare him back. Like, you need to put him down so he never thinks to scare you again. Because he's like, she's crazy.
I know.
She ruptured a testicle. I'm 12. Now I have one less testicle.
Now
just dropped.
He's down to three.
Those just dropped.
He's down to three. So, they do a good job early here making you also as the reader be like, oh, that Steve, I hope he gets what's coming to him. Now, after this worm scenario, the whole lunchroom, the uproar, everybody's laughing at Carly Beth. Look at her, she fucking ate a worm. She runs out, obviously sick by everything, burst out the cafeteria doors, leaves. Bum, bum, bum.
Chapter 3. So Carly Beth is pretty upset. Pretty upset. She had a bad day at school.
Yeah.
Pretty awful day at school, to be honest with you. Like, her two friends, again, some of these children, I'm not saying R.L. Stine should start killing children. I am saying that if he was going to start killing children, I have some names. Maybe not even these two. Maybe these two. But, like, the ones in My Next Door Neighbor is a Ghost. Like,
that's probably a book he wrote.
Those two kids should have been Next Door is Invisible. Ghost Next Door.
Yeah.
those two kids that were like lighting the postmaster's house on fire and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
like,
those are, put those kids away.
Yeah. The kids in Monster Blood who were like throwing cats in trees or whatever. Yeah. I think I made that up.
They probably were, though. We didn't see the twins off screen, but when I bet they were doing.
I think they did do that. And they stole bikes. Like, oh my God.
It's up to a dog, I think. Yeah.
Oof.
Anyway.
Mm. So Carly Beth gets home. And she's just like, oh, thank God I'm in my safe space where nothing can happen to me. Holy fucking shit, there's a head on the mantle.
What?
Bum, bum, bum. Nope.
No.
It's, don't worry. It's just mom's art project. She made a perfect replica of her daughter's head. Now, I don't know what the assignment was in art class. If it was to make a head, then okay. Then that's fine. But to just choose to make a perfect replica of your child's head.
It's not the worst thing, but it is weird.
It's a little weird. With exacting detail. To the point where people are like, oh my God, is that a severed head? Like, people believed it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was night out, and they're children, and they're stupid. But, like, still, like, eerily accurate.
Yeah.
From memory? Like, how did she shoot that? Like, Carly Beth didn't know. She didn't sit for it. Anyway, Carly Beth also finds this unsettling and weird. And also, like, her mom didn't, like, say, here's your, just left it on the mantle. Yeah. So that Carly Beth comes home and is like, oh my God, did you kill me? but then her mom's just like, I made it because I love you. It's like, fuck aww. You. All right. Don't fucking pull out those cards. And so Carly Beth has to put
so
down
sweet.
The fact. She's like, I have to put away the fact that the entire school laughed at me when my two sociopathic friends made me eat a worm. But okay, let me take care of you too, mom. I love the dismembered head you made of me. Her mom's not really buying it, but it's, she manages to smooth it over a little bit, I feel like. Carly Beth is, like, still looking at the head, and she thinks that the head smiles at her, which is foreshadowing for later.
Yeah, a bit.
But she gets to talking to her mom because she's like, I need a Halloween costume. I'm going to figure that out. I was like, don't worry. There's a duck costume for you. That I made for you because one time 3 months ago you saw a duck costume and you said it'd be pretty funny to wear. So I made you one from scratch. Again, without Carly Beth knowing it.
Mom is one just, very, I guess, artistic and skilled, but also she should be asking first.
Yes. She's one of those people that always does things for other people without them asking and then gets upset when they don't have the appropriate response back, which mm-hmm. is just like, I appreciate that you did this big thing for me, but what am I supposed to do with a fucking head of myself? Like, I can't display that in my house. Like,
that seems
people
narcissistic.
Are going to think I'm crazy.
Yeah. And if you displayed it in your house, I would think you were crazy.
So, I'll give it to Dave. So now Carly Beth is even more like, like dresses up like a duck. Everyone's going to be like, oh, it's Carly Quack. And she will give her more worms to feed. That she's a duck now. Birds love worms. Like, it's going to be a nightmare. Yeah, children are awful. They're monsters. She's already labeled a worm eater for the rest of fucking ever.
Ever.
Like, maybe if she gets to high school. If
she'll have to move two states to escape the stigma of eating a worm.
Yeah. But this is back in the 90s. And nowadays, you have to escape where there's no internet.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I saw on your Facebook page.
That's a good point, though. I don't give
me?
Gen Z's plight enough consideration. I don't even know if they're Gen Z.
Those little weirdos, I feel like, are going to have no concept of privacy. Like, we're going to see, like, things we've never seen before because Gen Z is going to be like, of course you can see my dick. Here it is all the time on my profile picture on Twitter. Like, no, you psychopaths. I feel like because they've been online from the beginning, because their parents are just like, here's mom popping out Justin. And like, now Justin's 23 and people have seen every bit of his life from his mom's vagina up until like his college graduation. He's just like, people know everything about me. Might as well see my gaping butthole.
Wow.
That's... Yeah, right?
At least he's 23 in this scenario.
Yeah. That's the good scenario. So, Carly Beth goes to her room like all of Arlstein's children do. when they're really bummed out. Yeah. 'Cause that's your safe space where nothing bad can happen. Forget what I said about the house. Like, the bedroom is the safe space for a very high-strung child. Also, her mom knows that Carly Beth is wicked high-strung and scared of everything. What the fuck are you thinking? Like, like, at one point, her mom's even like, you shouldn't get a scary mask. Then why did you okay.
Mm. Yeah. I guess we know why she's high-strung. Because her parents are inept at understanding her feelings.
Oh, wait. We haven't met the brother. So, she opens the door of her bedroom, which is shut. And she's like, I don't remember closing my door. Carly Beth, that's it. That's a danger sign. Maybe this is the problem. She never picks up on the warning signs that something bad's about to happen. So, it just happens to her where it's just like, there's so many warning signs. Like, when I was a kid, I knew if you went, like, if you're a latchkey kid like I was growing up, and you get home and you see the front doors open, you don't go into that house.
Yeah, somebody's in there.
Yeah, and it might not be mom or dad.
Yeah, you have the latchkey.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So she goes to her room to get away from this whole situation, and she hears the sound of heavy breathing from outside her bedroom door.
Oh.
She opens the door, and it's just a fucking nightmare! Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, man, nightmare in the form of a duck right around the size of an 8-year-old boy. Which I gotta say is a pretty big duck. I'd have probably punted it in the face. But it's obviously Noah, her little brother, who, you know, I don't think we've met Noah yet, but.
No.
But Carly Beth's got an 8-year-old little brother who, guess what? Also loves scaring the shit out of his sister. Everybody's into it. So, you know, he's quacking, quack, quack, scares her a little bit. She yells at him, Noah, come on, goddamn. And then that's that, you know, we get scared by a duck. Now we're just, R.L. Stein's like, I did the duck thing. I'm going to move on. So Sabrina, then.
I will say, as far as little brothers go.
Yeah.
He's not too bad.
He's not that bad. You know, he's not that
he's
bad.
He's kind of a dink sometimes, but
no. Yeah, he does little brother stuff. It's fine. Sabrina then calls her up on the old home phone back in 1993 to remind Carly Beth about the science fair project. Big deal. You know, you got to get that science fair project going. So Carly Beth uses the opportunity to also complain about Chuck and Steve being jerks to her. She's like, oh yeah, I'll come over and we'll do that science fair project. But also, man, I'd love nothing more. And to scare the shit out of Chuck and Steve for that whole ordeal pisses me off. She even says, I'm not going to be scarable anymore. Which reminds me of that scene from Home Alone where Kevin's like, I'm not afraid anymore. Kind of reminds me of that.
And then he just bails immediately after that.
Yeah. Yeah. So fast forward to the science fair. Carly Beth and Sabrina have their, like, a ping pong planetarium thing going on. You know, that old thing. Get some ping pong balls, paint them, make it look like a bunch of planets. They're pretty proud of it. They're standing near it. And then Steve over there, a couple tables away, you know, he brought a little terrarium there for his, I guess, his tarantula. And you hear Steve cross the auditorium and go, my tarantula got out! Now, Carly Beth is like, okay, don't freak out. You've already done the worm thing. Everybody knows that you're easily scarable. This would be another opportunity to shriek and everybody would make fun of you. Just play it cool, Carly. Just play it fucking cool. And then, pinch! She feels a little pinch on the back of her leg. Screams so loud it echoes throughout the fucking auditorium. Dum, dum, dum.
It was Steve.
Oh, God damn it, Steve.
Pinching her leg. Yeah. Once again.
Got her ass.
Like, everyone's laughing at her. Teachers are laughing at her. Other students are laughing at her. Her flailing knocked over her science fair project. Like, just...
It's rough. It's rough.
It's rough. Like Carly Beth does not need this. And this is only going to make it worse. Like, each event just makes it worse for her. So, but, like, she... Like, Sabrina's like, hey, help me pick all these balls up and everything. And Carly Beth's just like, don't. I see you smirking. I see you smirking.
What? You pick up all the planet balls?
Yes, balls, all the planet balls. Yeah. Yeah. All the balls. You just got to pick them up. One in each hand. So, but Carly Beth's is just done. She books it out of the auditorium, swearing, revenge!
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum.
But how's it going to happen? I don't know. Let's find out. It's Halloween now. All right. And apparently, at this point, Steve has apologized to Carly Beth. There is some reference to it. But I don't think it matters, because Carly Beth is well past apologies at this point. She wants her sweet, thick revenge on these two bastards. Specifically Steve, I think. He seems to be the bigger culprit. But Chuck, he's along for the ride. And so, Carly Beth plans to meet Sabrina right at 7:30 to go trick-or-treating. But she doesn't want to wear that duck costume. You know, Mom made it for her. It's kind of silly. You know, thanks, Mom, but no thanks. I don't want to go as a duck. It'll just... Steve and Chuck will just be giant assholes if I show up as a duck. So she has an idea. She grabs a wad of bills. I don't even remember where it came from. Might be her allowance. Maybe she stole from her mother. I'm not sure. But she gets a wad of bills, upwards of $30.
Her life savings.
Was it her life savings? So in 1993, $30 is probably like, I don't know, like $50 now, $60. So it's no small amount of money for an 11-year-old. And she's like, okay, I'm going to... And I also always love how in R.L. Stein's universes, most of the suburbs are quaint enough to where everything is within walking distance. So she can just sprint down her driveway and head to a party store, which seems like a remote party store, the way it's described. So she heads out. She's like, I'm going to go to this party store I know about. Try to make a last-second purchase of a costume. Try to find something scary. All right? So she treks it, hoofs it, down the sidewalk, all the way down. Finally, gets there, walks all the way up to the glass. She's not feeling great about it. It's a little dark in there. Maybe, is it open? Is it not open? Is it open? Is it not open? Seems like she pulls on the door a little bit, not moving. It is closed. Dum, dum, dum. What's she going to do?
$62.72, to be exact.
Is
what,
$30. Isn't that crazy to think you were alive when money was half what it's worth? It's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid and people would, my dad would be like, yeah, that's a quarter. It gets you popcorn and a night out with a lady. But and I'd be like, Dad, come on, there's no way. But
the last of the gumball machines were taking quarters when we were kids.
Yeah. Now they take credit cards.
Yeah. Anyway. Or Apple Pay, you know. I do love when we have a cliffhanger that's like, is the store closed too soon? Also, you close at 5 on Halloween? No, sir. When I worked at an Army surplus store, we had one busy time of year, and that was Halloween. And we were open late on Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you that. For $5, I'll tell you that. But
that's like $11 in 1993 money.
Yeah. I still have the calculator up. So you let me know what you want to know what costs what and now money, and I'll let you know. But Carly Beth sees something moving in the store just as she's about to give up hope about not dressing up as a duck for Halloween. Again, these are pretty low stakes.
So far, yeah.
That skyrocket pretty high in a couple minutes. But the guy opens the door, and he... R.L. Stein loves to describe an eccentric shopkeeper. And this gentleman opens the door, and I imagine like Vincent Price, because he has a pencil-thin mustache.
That's exactly who I imagined.
Vincent Price, rather than say, like, you know... John Waters. I feel like we're supposed to have a more tragic figure than a pervert, so we'll go with like Vincent Price.
Yeah,
and he talks like him too. I'm not going to do the voice, but he's like, "Well, we're closed because we close at 5."
Yeah.
Who closes a store at 5 too? Like everyone's getting out of work. You close? Oh my goodness. So, Carly Beth, but please, I need a scary mask so I can scare all these bozos out there. And he's just like, all right, whatever. You got money. Like, get in here. So she's looking around. She sees masks that are like, gorilla, no. And he's like, what about this alien thing? I think it's from Star Trek. And she's just like, no, I don't want that shit. It's not scary. Pig, werewolf, Frankenstein. No, no. Just throwing shit. No, she's too nice of a child. She's probably just looking surrounded by masks, not able to, like, decide. And just like Evan.
Well, they do reference a lot of, like, pop culture here in this segment too, which I thought was cool.
I'll say the actual. I should have known when you started name dropping.
Well, I think it's fun.
Freddy Krueger, the ET, the extraterrestrial, and Uncle Festa.
Yeah,
were also masks that were on this wall.
I love it. I love it. Uncle Festa would have been a good mask.
That's true. Also terrifying to see like a giant Uncle Fester mask on like a child.
Small girl. Yeah.
Yeah. But much like Evan does in Monster Blood, Carly Beth sees a door that's a little bit open. And you know, when you see a door that's partway open in a store, definitely they want you going back in there. Like that was not an area that's up. So she books it.
Like, is this where the employees pee? I want to see. No. Can I go back there and look? I just want to know.
It's actually, oh my goodness. Oh, she sneaks in. The owner's taking a call because apparently he realizes, oh, I should take business calls or whatever. And she sneaks back there, gets inside, and her eyes open in amazement. Bum, bum, bum.
Oh my gosh. Carly Beth gripped the doorframe, reluctant to enter the tiny back room. Staring into the dim orange light, she studied the hideous masks. One mask had long, stringy yellow hair falling over its bulging green forehead. A hairy black rat's head poked up from a knot in the hair. The rat's eyes gleamed like two dark jewels. The mask beside it had a large nail stuck through an eye hole. Thick, wet-looking blood poured from the eye down the cheek. Chunks of rotting skin appeared to be falling off another mask, revealing gray bone underneath. An enormous black insect, some kind of grotesque beetle, poked out from between the green and yellow decayed teeth. Carly Beth's horror mixed with excitement. She took a step into the room. The wooden floorboards creaked noisily beneath her. She took another step closer to the grotesque, grinning masks. They seemed so real, so horribly real. The faces had such detail. The skin appeared to be made of flesh, not rubber or plastic. These are perfect, she thought, her heart pounding. These are just what I was looking for. They look terrifying. Just popped up on these shelves. She thinks, these will definitely scare fucking Chuck and Steve. I've got to get one. So she surveys a little bit more. She finds one she likes the best. And this one's got putrid, greenish, yellow skin. You've seen the cover of the book.
Oh, yeah.
Enormous sunken eyes, orange glowing. A big, broad, flat nose, like what you might have seen on the UK cover, except maybe not that weird. Mm. It's described as a nose kind of flat and like smashed in like a skeleton's.
Which
I thought was a nice detail.
Yeah. Maybe like a bat's nose.
Sort of, yeah, like sunken in. Jagged animal fangs, right? She's like, this is it. Steve and Chuck will fear pee all the way down the block when they see me approaching in this bad mamma jamma. She reaches out her hand, touches the one that she likes, puts a hand right on it, and screams. Bum, bum, bum.
So it turns out it's actually the shopkeep who screams.
Yeah, weird, right?
Yeah, because Carly Beth, like, she's like, did the mask scream? He's like,
I like to imagine him screaming, like, extremely effeminately, too. Like, Like, why would you don't touch that?
Yeah, no, that's very fragile. Ugh, yes. What are you doing in my storeroom? Get out of here. But instead of being an adult, I love the fact, same with the Monster Blood shopkeep, again, where it's just like, well, in that particular case, that shopkeep I think really was just like, it's expired. Why do you want, fine, have some old slime.
Right.
Like, I think that, because the Monster Blood was not already cursed when it was in the store. But maybe in this case, he's basically like, I can't sell these masks, they're too scary. Which is also sounds like a bullshit way to upsell something. No. You said you wanted super scary. These are too scary.
Come over here.
I'll show you the ones that are not too scary.
I also love that he keeps trying to. He must have had a surplus of gorilla masks because he's like, seriously, take one of the gorilla ones.
Oh, yeah. Well, the moment someone tells you, like, oh, yeah, these are flying off the shelves. No. But he's still like, come on, gorilla mask? Huh? And she's like, no, listen, you got $30 with your name on it. Cash. Give it to you right now for this mask. I'll put it on the counter. You don't even, like, you can count it. I don't care if you count. I'm going to walk out with this mask, leave the money on the counter. We call it dunzo. But he's like, no, it's too scary. It's too real. You can't have that mask. And she's still like, no, I need to. I do love when she's like, I need to scare Chuck and Steve. And he's like, who are Chuck and Steve? It's like, these motherfuckers. And so she's like, please. And she's like, you'll be sorry, but sure. When you find out what happens later, you're just like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I know.
But
you kind of felt like, I feel like she was being persistent. And I was like, man, this is kind of going on a while. But when I got to the end of the book, I was like, he should have kept saying no for a long time.
Yeah, he should have never done it. She should have stolen that mask or something. And then he's finally like, all right, $30. That's a price for a soul. Sure, here's a mask. Boom. She takes the mask. It feels a little warm, as latex masks don't. And she books it home. She's super excited. And she decides, she's like, I'm going to scare. Who am I going to scare first? I know. Noah. Because what? What are we gonna, who else would but the person who lives in my house? I'm gonna make nightmares for him. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. R.L. Stine even refers to Noah, he'll be her first victim, which I was like, that's intense. But, she
murder
gets home.
Murder victim.
She gets home. Noah, I'm starting to like Noah a lot because he's upstairs in his room by himself, 8 years old, described as listening to some old heavy metal. I thought that was a weird but neat detail about
Little
Noah. Well,
and then you find out what he's dressing up as, too. It's
yes!
It's like an insane scene because he's dressed up like that the whole time.
Yeah, that's true. Gosh, yes. I love Noah. He might be my favorite kid in the book so far. So she creeps up on Noah. She puts the mask on, realizes, wow, it's a little tight. A little tight on my face. But whatever. She creeps on into Noah's room. Gets even behind him because he's got headphones on listening to his heavy metal. I'm guessing like, I don't even know what old heavy, maybe some old Dio, maybe some early Ozzy. I don't know. But he's rocking out. He's facing his mirror, which is weird that he doesn't see her behind him. But he's facing the mirror. That's how it's described. Putting on his cockroach suit, as you alluded to. He's got a fun get up for Halloween. He's going to be a cockroach. Gosh, he's just the coolest kid. And then she runs at him real quick and says, I've got you. And her voice, she notices, when she says, it comes out as a deep growl, like, I've got you. And Noah turns around. He doesn't, like, jump or, like, react in any other way but just turning pale, terrified. He even utters, Mom, help. That was the first thing he thought of was his mother. That's how scared this little boy was, this poor little cockroach. And then she is still talking to him, but she still has this deep voice coming out of her. She's like, it's okay. It's just me. It's Carly Beth. And he's like, what the fuck? And she finally convinces him that it's her by her clothes. She's like, you don't recognize my clothes? Look at the cover of the book. I'm wearing overalls over a pink shirt. And he's like, oh, that is, oh, yeah, hey.
Well, she's not nice about it, though. She's like, you fucking dummy. Like, she's kind of berating him. She's like, how fucking stupid are you?
Right. But is it the mask talking? Who knows? But then she says, he's like, okay, well, I've had my fun with Noah. I'm going to go ahead and get this mask off real quick. So I got to save some scares for later if I can just get this mask off. Uh-oh. The mask isn't coming off. Dum-dum-dum.
Carly Beth is struggling to get this mask free off of her head, but it won't get. And then she pulls it off. But it's a struggle. It's a struggle. It felt tight. She talks about that a lot. Where like as she's putting it on, oh, it's much tighter than I expected. This is real tight. It's just a real tight fit.
Tight, hot.
Ugh, real hot and warm in here, and smells sour. Like she's describing the smell inside. Like it smells like old wood and wet newspapers. Like that's not what latex smells like. Latex has a very distinct latex smell. Like when you're wearing those masks, like Carly Beth, what is this made of that you're wearing?
Skin, perhaps?
Maybe skin. Noah's like, I wasn't scared, but how'd you do that voice though? Because how'd you do that voice? Because that voice scared the shit out of me. How'd you do that voice? And Carly Beth is just like, oh, you know, I practiced. But she's like, I don't know how I did that voice. And you'd think maybe that would be a cause for concern, but children roll with like auditory hallucinations and like dissociative identities a lot easier than the rest of us do. So she basically is just like, I bet this will scare the shit out of Chuck and Steve. Bum, bum, bum.
Yes. Now she needs to come up with a plan for how just to get the scares out of them. So she gets this wacky fucking plan, which I'm commending her for because this is not where I'd have went with it. But it's the mask wasn't enough for Carly. She just emptied out $62 of 2023 American money on this mask. She bought it from a creepy man at 5 p.m. at closing time.
To be fair, it's actually a really good price for an expensive.
Actually, yeah, I was thinking that.
A decent mask
I remember as a kid would be like $100 in 1993 money. So
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like the really articulated ones that would like scare the shit out of Chuck and Steve anyway would cost that much.
For sure, yeah.
And so, if we did some calculations real quick.
Oh, please. I'd love to know.
That's $209.07 in real money.
In real today money. But I commend her for this because I thought it was a great idea. In addition to this mask, which I thought was going to be enough, she says she's going to go further. She gets a broomstick from the closet. She's got to be a little bit sneaky because she doesn't really want her mom to know about this. She goes and she gets a broomstick, and then she grabs that sculpted head of herself on that mantle, that creepy head her mom made out of love, puts that on the end of it, and then puts on the mask. So now she looks like a demented, scary monster with her own head on a stick, as if Carly Beth has died. And in this moment, who's to say, she just didn't. But she tries to sneak away like this, which has got to be tough to do. You're wearing a mask. You've got a broomstick with your head on it. It's tough to sneak around doing anything with that.
Oh, yeah.
But as she's trying to sneak out to go meet up with Sabrina, her mother calls her into the room. Carly Beth! Come see the duck costume! Conundrum. Dum-dum-dum.
Luckily, the phone rings because it's their dad in Chicago. I thought the dad was dead or something, but apparently he's in Chicago.
Dads sometimes go there in Arlstein books. They love to go to Chicago. It's a favorite place.
Maybe that's like when you're from Ohio, maybe like Chicago is where people go.
That seems right.
Yeah. So maybe there's divorce. Is there any mention of what like the dad's doing in Chicago?
I think he's on business. He's like, that's the blanket excuse. Like, hey, he's away for work. He's just not, he's not here because he didn't want to write him walking down through the hallway and having an interaction, essentially.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So mom, she's like, oh, I've got to get that. It's probably your dad. And like Carly Beth's like, Saved by the Bell, stares at camera, it. Finger guns, and runs out the door with the head. And, she goes, she wants to meet earlier. It says like, she said, oh, I still have a few minutes before I have to go to Sabrina's house. A few minutes? What the go? Like, you're thinking you got plans to formulate and put heads on broomsticks? But, like, get out the door. Goodness gracious. So she's going to meet Chuck and Steve with Sabrina. And then as she gets to Sabrina's house, she sees Chuck and Steve coming up in costume. And she's going to be like, all right, ton of fucking just scared the crap out of Chuck and Steve. They don't even know what's going to hit them. I'm going to jump out. It's going to be great. Everybody, get behind this chapter, and we're going to bump, bump, bump.
Yeah. Peering into the darkness, Carly Beth watched them until they were nearly right in front of the shrub. Okay. Now, she declared silently. Raising the broomstick with its staring head on the top, she leaped out. The boys shrieked, startled. She could see their eyes go wide as they gaped at her mask. A ferocious roar escaped her throat. Rawr! A deep rumbling howl that frightened even her. At the terrifying sound, both boys cried again. One of them actually dropped to his knees on the driveway. They both stared up at the head bobbing on the broomstick. It seemed to glare down at them. Another howl escaped Carly Beth's throat. It started low, as if coming from far away, and then pierced the air, raspy and deep, like the roar of an angry creature. No! One of the boys cried. Who are you? The other cried. Leave us alone! Carly Beth heard rapid footsteps crunching over the dead leaves in the driveway. Looking up, she saw a woman in a bulky brown coat running up the drive. The woman runs at her angry, and it turns out, boy, that was just not Chuck or Steve. Those were two little innocent boys just out trick-or-treating, and they just had the scare of their freaking life. And I tell you what, the mom, none too pleased at the shenanigans Carly Beth just pulled. That wasn't very nice. I mean, it's Halloween. You expect to get spooked a little bit. But this is where it gets fucking crazy, because Carly Beth, I mean, again, kind of blaming it on the mask is sort of fueling her rage suddenly. She does not back down. Little timid, shy, typically scaredable Carly Beth does not back down from this angry mother. Mother is like, what, do you live around here? Who are you? Carly Beth's like, go away! And she's like, what are, little... Little girl, this is not okay. You shouldn't, you need to get your act together. Who's your parents? Kind of thing. Getting real Karen with her. Carly's like, go away. I'm warning you. Just doubling down, which I thought was kind of nuts.
Oh, yeah.
And then to wrap up the chapter, says, her anger raged through her chest. Her entire body was trembling. She felt about to burst. I'm going to tear this woman apart, Carly Beth decided. Holy shit. Dum, dum, dum.
So it's the kids that save the mom because she's like, Mom, come on, let's just go trick-or-treating. Like, they're basically like, can we move on from this situation? Because we're not scared anymore. We want to go trick-or-treating again. Let's go. Like, Ma, she's just crazy. Let's go. So, like, Carly Beth is still, like, she's basically blood boiling. Like, she has these thoughts in her head of, like, I'll chew the blitz. I'll tear her skin off her bones. And, like, she can feel the mask, like, tightening around her head, getting hotter and tighter. And then Sabrina steps out, like, spooked, because she's just like, who the fuck is it? And then Carly Beth is just like, it's me, Carly Beth! And, like, Sabrina's like, oh, Carly. That's a great mask. Oh, I love the head on the broomstick. Come on in.
Is that allergies I hear?
So, Steve's going to be late because he has to take his little sister trick-or-treating. And, like, Carly Beth is like, we keep seeing, like, these little thoughts. Actually, it's not here. Like, it's a little bit later, but where we have, like, just these... She says, like, the dickiest things. Like, at one point, like, Sabrina says, like, oh, I'm going to get two pieces of candy, one for my little brother when I get... And Carly Buzz is like, I'm not giving candy to shirt! Like, just like, this. All right, Carly. But, so, Carly Beth is, like, upset. But, like, Sabrina is just, like, chattering away at her. And she's just like, where'd you get it? It's super pretty. Is it made of human skin? What's going on? Why is it so warm? Oh, my God, you're acting a little funny. Why are you choking me, Carly? Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, holy shit.
When that happened.
Right?
I lost my mind a little bit. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
I know. That's exactly when I texted you, bud, this book goes hard in spots. I was blown away by that. So, yeah, there's Carly Beth wearing a mask out in the middle of the street, just choking her best friend. And you heard what she wanted to do to that mother. Yeah. She won't stop. She wants nothing but blood. But, she, you know, I think she comes to in the middle of Sabrina's screams, you know, for help, gasps for air. And she lets Sabrina go. She's like, gotcha. Just messing around there. And Sabrina's like, what the fuck is wrong with you, Carly? Holy shit, that was intense. And she's like, yeah, just trying to get in character. Obviously, she's growling this. I don't want to keep growling. But she's like, yeah, just trying to get in character for later when I scare old Chuck and Steve. Oh, shit. So now Carly calms down and decide, let's just get the trick-or-treating, shall we? So off they go. They go in door to door. And then Carly has another interaction with an innocent family. And this one is somehow worse to me.
No, yeah. Because she's in their home. She's in their home. The little monster.
I love it, though. So she rings the doorbell. Mother comes to the door. Two small kids. I guess they're too young to go trick-or-treating. So he has two small kids flanking her there when she answers. And immediately the little girl, there's a little boy and a little girl with the mother. Immediately the little girl is afraid of Carly's mask. Steps back, seems obviously frightened. Probably much like Carly Beth is to everything else. And Carly Beth looks at her dead in her eyes and says, I'll eat you up. What the fuck? The mother says, that's not okay. That's not okay to be doing that. Now she's going to have nightmares. Why would you do that? And then Carly Beth doesn't even hesitate, doesn't waste a breath, just immediately snaps her head over to the boy and says, I'll eat you up too. I'm just thinking she's just Beetlejuice at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Then she just, this is the craziest fucking thing to me. Like, the mother is obviously reacting negatively to this. Like, what, you get out of here, blah, blah, blah. Carly Beth just maniacally laughs, jumps off the porch like a crazed baboon, and sprints across the street. Fucking what the hell was that? But the thing was, I don't even know that needed to be in the book, but it was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, Carly going crazy is, like, bananas. Because she goes over the line. Yeah. Except that was just a child using her own imagination. So that's even more terrifying. I mean, what Carly's doing is worse. Like, she goes pretty far later.
Yeah. Well, she scared the shit out of these little kids.
Oh, yeah.
And then laughs it off, jumps, runs away.
Sabrina's like, what the fuck's wrong with you? But okay, like, eh. They go to this other house. It's this older couple opens the door and is like, oh my God, that mask is just the scariest. Oh my goodness. Oh my Lanza Gorshin. We have to show grandma. Like, and like, what is happening? And so like, Carly's like, no, 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 no. And Sabrina's like, come on, Carly. He's like, no, 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 no. And so like, Carly's dragged into this, oh my goodness, look how scary it is. Look, Grandma, look at this. Look at this scary. And Grandma's like, oh, that looks quite like a mask. All right. Is there, it's certainly a mask. By George, I used to see one of these back in the latex factory back in Michigan. Oh, I want to say 1937 was when it closed down the first time, but when they reopened it back in 1947, by golly, the smell of latex filled the streets and you could see the children dance with joy. Carly Beth is rip shit by the end of this. And so they get escorted out. She's enraged. I feel like Carly Beth was also mad and the mask is mad and they're both mad. And so they're like, all right, trick or treat, because we got the trick. Where's our treat now? And he gives them each a nice apple.
Oh, man. And they talk about how they go through the whole thing that was a big deal around the 80s and 90s. Well, I mean, and still, about unprotected or unwrapped foods potentially being taintable, which is kind of a myth, but people still
It happened once because some motherfucker poisoned his own kids and ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, I know. You can't even poison your own kids anymore. You ruined that too. Mm. But anyway, they get to the end of the driveway with these apples that they clearly hate. I mean, kids just don't like apples anyway. And Carly Beth just starts chucking apples back at the house, or her apple. She chucks her apple back at the house. And Sabrina's like, whoa, dude, hey, oh, you're acting weird. Like, for the last few stops, you've been kind of making me freaked out. And then Carly Beth, I don't even think she says anything. She just rips Sabrina's apple out of her hand and then turns and chucks it to the house like she's trying to throw someone out at first.
I got the feeling that the apple, like, pulverized, too. Like, it wasn't just, like, it bounced off the house or whatever, oh, yeah. But it, like, blew apart.
I imagine her, like, crow hopping into it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think somebody even pokes their head outside to look and be like, what the hell's going on? What's this racket?
Well, back in 1987, there was a hailstorm where hailstones about the size of an apple... Just one hailstone about the size of an apple fell and cracked your granduncle on the head.
So, at this point, Sabrina, I mean, they decide to split up so they think that they could get more candy that way. But I'm sure Sabrina was like, just get the fuck away from me right now. You're freaking me out. So they split up and they decide to go separate ways. And at some point on the journey, Carly Beth by herself, she just scares two boys and steals their candy right out of their freaking bucket. Mad person. Maniacal. Now she's feeling invincible. This is all going to her head now. It's kind of like what we were talking about in the opening. When you get that mask, she's got all that confidence. No one knows it's her. She can do whatever she wants. She's been getting away with stuff for the last few minutes. She can't wait for Chuck and Steve. Dum, dum, dum.
Keeping in mind that, like, she's had adults yelling at her. She's like, why don't you go fuck yourself? Like, how about you take
your kids?
I'll tell you what. You bend over, I'll pound this broomstick up your rear end. How about we do that? Like, she's like not fucking around. Like,
no.
Like, when they start turning, like, because usually the adults are just kind of like, what are you kids up to? Okay, goodbye. Oh, did you hear one of your neighborhood chums was kidnapped the other day and you two seem to be, oh, don't worry about it. I'll be on my way. Goodbye. Like, that's the adults there just seem to be like, an afterthought for the most part. This one, like, Carly's bringing it to them. Like,
oh, yeah.
We're going to be neglected. Let me start the chapter 17 for you, though. So, Carly Beth sees Chuck and Steve, and they're underneath a street lamp. They're doing a spot check, seeing what they got for the night, seeing if they got any musketeers or, you know, tossing them in the street because those are garbage. You know, she might see a couple, like, you know, just like Ziploc baggies of something. And she's just like, all right, cool. Like, thanks. Handful of pennies. Like, I'm not like a coin star. Like, come on. So they're going through their bags and she's just like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to scare them. They're going to know it's me. I'm going to have to get them. She's gonna hide behind a hedge because that's worked pretty well for her, just jumping out at people like Noah,
yeah,
the two kids from earlier who
were, I got you,
yeah, so traumatized. They're gonna come down the driveway. She's gonna be boo. So she's waiting, ready to strike. When? Bah, bah, bah.
Yeah, this is it. She jumps out, scares him. Steve's chin trembles. got his ass. He looks scared. Chuck even clutches Steve's sleeve. What the fuck was that, Steve? She got him. And then they somehow, you know, after the first couple of, I mean, maybe milliseconds of fear streaks through them, they're like, oh, Carly Beth? But Carly Beth tries to convince them that, no, I'm a monster. And I have Carly Beth's head on a stick. Not only am I not Carly Beth, I fucking killed her already. It's kind of the angle she's shooting at. But they're a little like, nah, dude, what's going on? What are you talking about? Come off of it, Carly. We know it's you. And she demands her hand. She's like, whatever. She's really trying to play the part. Give me your Halloween candy. Blah, blah, blah. But they know it's just her. They're not giving in. But they do kind of, they're like, I mean, that's a pretty good mask. You can kind of tell that they're like, shit, nice pull on the mask. You got us. Cool. You can't have our candy. So we just move on. And she's like, she's still going all in.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to put their head on a stick. I'll put your head on the stick with this other head of Carly. I'm not Carly. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So they look up at the stick and they're like getting a good look at it now. Finally, like, what is on the end of this stick? Whose head is that? It's a dark out here. What's going on with that stick? Of course, it's Carly Beth's head, ostensibly. Even she looks up, and all three of them kind of stare up at the head for this very brief moment. And Carly Beth thinks she sees the face, her face, wink twice. And then, as all three of them are staring up at the face, she swears she sees it mouth, help me, help me, dum dum dum.
The whole time she's doing this, I imagine that she's like shaking the head. She's just like, put your head on the stick. And that's when they both look up.
Yeah, maybe.
But I don't know if that's true.
I think that's true. Some movement might convince them that it's winking and saying stuff. You never know.
So the boys run away in terror because they've seen something impossible. The head winking. And Carly Beth is wicked excited. She's just like, I got him. The depth that she's probably broken these two boys, like, it would be even better if the next day she's just like, what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that would have been amazing, yeah. I mean, she's left a trail of typically boys, I think one small girl, but she's scared some kids tonight.
Oh, yeah.
She should be proud.
Oh, yeah. Luckily, Sabrina was also masked up, so she doesn't have that as a... you know, what's it? But, you know, because, like, Sabrina would be like, she's masked, so, like, they couldn't be like, oh, it's your tall friend. Like, no one in the neighborhood knows that it's Carly and Sabrina, necessarily.
That's right.
So, Carly Beth is, she doesn't think she saw the head do what it did. That's not possible. She's a little crazy that she imagined it. It was dark. Whatever. So, she tucks the head in a broomstick behind a hedge, which is, like, she thinks, like, I don't need those anymore.
Which is kind of weird, right? Like, your mom made that for you out of love.
Mm-hmm.
Out of love.
Did she? Did she, though?
I think. That's what she said.
Maybe. But then, yet again, a hand grabs her from behind. Dun-dun-dun!
Yeah. People just don't say hey anymore, do they? Just grabbing her from behind. So she turns around, turns out, it's Sabrina. It's her good pal, Sabrina. CB's playing it cool, you know? She notices, Sabrina notices all of the candy that Carly Beth has. And we all know that candy didn't come honest. A lot of that candy was thieved from small boys. Carly Beth says, oh, all this? I just hit a lot of houses is all. You know, I was really getting around. And Sabrina's like, okay, cool, whatever. Let's go to my house and look through the candy, see what we got. So they go through their candy and they're inspecting it. Commenting on a lot of what they see. And then Sabrina asks, did you see Steve and Chuck? I searched everywhere for them, she groaned. That's all I did tonight. I spent the whole night looking for everybody. You, Steve, and Chuck. How come we never got together? Carly Beth shrugged. I saw them, she told her friend. A few minutes ago, back there, she motioned with her head. They're such scaredy cats. Huh? Steve and Chuck? Sabrina's expression turned to surprise. Yeah, they got one look at my mask and they took off, Carly Beth told her, laughing. They were screaming like babies. Sabrina joined in on the laughter. I don't believe it, she exclaimed. They always act so tough, and I called after them. But they just kept running, Carly Beth told her, grinning. Weird, Sabrina declared. Yeah, weird, Carly Beth agreed. Did they know it was you? Sabrina asked. Carly Beth shrugged. I don't know. They took one look at me and then they ran like rabbits. They told me they planned to scare you, Sabrina revealed. They were going to by sneaking up behind you and make scary noises or something. Carly Beth snickered. It's hard to sneak up behind someone when you're running for your life. So the girls end up going through the candy some more, inspecting it, commenting on what they got. You know how you do. And then Sabrina's like, you know what? Why do we still have our masks on? We're inside. We're done trick-or-treating. Let's take our masks off. So Sabrina takes her mask off. Easy peasy. And Carly Beth moves to get hers off. Because she's like, that's right. This thing is hot and uncomfortable. And she tries to get it off. But lo and behold, the goddamn thing won't come off. She can't get her mask off again. Uh-oh. Dum, dum, dum.
So as you might imagine, Sabrina doesn't really believe Carly Beth at this point. Carly Beth's kind of been a shithead all night, acting the fool, being scary. This is probably another Carly Breath. Carly Beth.
I keep saying it too. Yeah.
But Carly Beth is like really waking out. Can't get this mask off. Trying to pull it and pulling it. But it's like, it's actually like, won't budge. And then finally, like, Sabrina's just, like, trying to help her pull it off, too, but it's, like, hurting Carly Beth now. So, finally, like Carly Beth's like, get scissors, like cut it off or something. And Sabrina's like, listen, we'll try and, like, maybe it's just, like, stuck on, like, vacuum sealed or whatever. Let's try and reach under the edges of the mask. And yeah. So she goes and she starts, like, here. And she just kind of stops talking. Which is never a good sign when someone's trying to get you out of a situation. And she's just like, and Carly Beth can feel her hands going all the way around the back of her neck. And Carly Beth's like, the fuck is wrong with you? What are you doing? Come on, just get it off me. And Sabrina's like, there's no edge. Like, it's just part of you. And Carly Beth is just like, that's crazy. Like, she just keeps repeating it. Like, she's losing her mind because the mask is now part of her face. And it even feels warm, like skin now, like when Sabrina touches it. And now, what are they going to do? Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, what are they going to do? High-strung Carly Beth freaking the hell out. Goes over to the mirror to, I guess, do a double check. And starts freaking out because she sees that the eyes aren't her eyes. And I think there was something about that part that stuck with me where it was like, she can't, you know, eyes are windows to the soul. She looks in the mirror. She doesn't even see herself or
like
any part of her that's recognizable, right?
And it'll be the only thing, like, when you're wearing the mask, the last thing that you have that you could, yeah.
Exactly. So I thought that was a neat little element. But Sabrina's trying to be a good friend, trying to calm her down, like, hey, it's okay. We'll figure it out. We'll do something. But Carly Beth is too far gone. She absolutely freaks out. Runs outside. She's not even sure where she's going. She just wants to be away from Sabrina. She wants to be away from the mirror. The mirror freaked her out. And on her way, while she's pounding down the sidewalk in the middle of the night, not really the middle of the night. I mean, it's like probably 8:30, but she's running. It's dark. And she flashes into her head, I should go back to that store, talk to that store owner. He sold me this. He could help. He's got to be the one that could help. So she heads that direction. Runs all the way there, probably out of breath, wearing a mask. We all hate that. Ugh. She gets to the store, but it's very obviously closed, as we expected that it absolutely would be, because it was closed earlier. And there was no reason for it to reopen later. That'd be weird. Dum, dum, dum.
Carly Beth sees her reflection in the glass. Her real reflection now. Like, that is her face. And she says, and maybe one of the most absurd lines of pathos ever, why didn't I wear my mom's duck costume? And she regrets that it all. Which is what the store owner prophesied. He's like, you will be sorry. And she's just like, damn you, store owner. Damn you. And then she sees movement within the store. This hellish store that sells masks that bond with... Oh, it's the store. It's the guy who runs the store. He's in there. It's not. But he's like, oh, hey, I stayed late. Kind of expected you back. What's up? And she's just like, I can't take this mask off. It's stuck. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's buyer beware. I wanted to come inside, though. He's like, you know, I told you not to buy it, and then you wanted to buy it, and I said no, and you said yes, and I said no, and you said yes, and I said no, and you said yes, and I was like, fine. But there's no way I can take it off. Like, I just sold it to you. I'm not like a magician. sorry. And then, bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, which I thought was weird. Like, why do you even stay? He's like, she's going to come back. She's going to be upset, and then she's going to come in and want me to take it off, and I can't. Well, maybe, I should really just go home, I guess.
Well, maybe he could. She could have come in, and she's like, it's really hot and sticky, and it was hard to get off the first time. And he's like, oh, thank God. Boop. But no, she didn't, I guess. I mean, right. She wore it for like 8 straight hours or whatever. Like, she, like, when I was a kid, I was taking those things like on and off. You didn't just put on your mask and leave it on for the whole trick-or-treating. Like, you only, like, it's only showtime for like 30 seconds, and then you take it back off again.
That's right. You got to breathe, and again, it gets all covered in spit and weird sweat. But anyway, he goes on to drop this quote in the next chapter. He says, well, it isn't a mask. It's a real face. And she's like, what the fuck? And the store owner walked over to the display shelf and gestured to the ugly staring heads. The unloved, he said sadly, his voice lowered to a whisper. I don't understand, Carly Beth managed to choke out. These are not masks. They are faces, he explained. Real faces. I made them. I created them in my lab. Real faces. But they are so ugly, Carly Beth started. Why? Well, they weren't ugly in the beginning, he interrupted, his voice bitter, his eyes angry. They were beautiful, and they were alive. But something went wrong. When they were taken out of the lab, they changed. My experiments, my poor heads, were a failure. But I had to keep them alive. I had to. Now, Carly Beth's in disbelief. She's like, okay, what the fuck? It's not really what I signed up for. I'd really like, do you have dish soap? Can we get this mask off? And I like that he calls the masks the unloved. I think that's a cool little thing.
Although, based on this one mask, there's a fucking reason why they're unloved, because they're kind of assholes. Like, is this a nature versus nurture, or nurture versus, like, maybe, like, being locked up and slowly deforming is...
Yeah, they're certainly unloved. Also, he just won't let anybody have them, so he doesn't give anybody a chance to love them, to be honest. But he does mention, he goes, yeah, they stay back here until, you know, occasionally someone like you wanders into the store, and sometimes these masks find a new home. And then she kind of puts the dots together on that. She's like, oh, home, that seemed like a permanent thing. So then she freaks out even more. Now she's just trying to claw her face off. She's like, you've got to help me. You've got to help me, please. And he's like, can't do it. She's like, please, God, please help me. And probably can't do it. Definitely can't do it. I've already told you I can't do it. And then he waits until she's like completely upset to be like, well, it can be removed.
This seems to be his MO, where like you have to keep breaking down his defenses before he's like, fine, I'll sell you the haunted mask. Fine, I'll tell you how to take off the haunted mask. Fine. Like, it's just... Dude.
It's true. He's weird. He's not a well-defined character, in my opinion, but... He's here. He is here. The chapter ends with, well, I cannot do it for you, he replied, frowning, but I can tell you how. However, if it ever attaches itself to you or another person... It will be forever. Oh, how do I get it off? Tell me, Carly Beth begged. How do I get it off? Dum, dum, dum. How do you get it off, Dylan?
They can only be removed once, and only then by symbol of love.
What? Is it like an Elton John song?
That's
all. Huey Lewis?
No, that's all I'm
telling. No, it's a power of love.
Nope, that's all I'm telling. That's it. That's all you get.
But what do you mean?
Nope, that's it.
I'm Carly Beth. What do you mean?
Nope, that's it. That's all you get.
You can't tell me a little more because I got this.
Nope, you'll figure it out when it happens. You'll know.
Do these fucking things have a manual?
Nope.
Can we look?
All right, out of the store. Out.
Have you made a YouTube video showing
symbol of love?
If I look up symbol of love in the Merriam-Webster, is it going to like tell me what I should be looking for? Or I'm 11. I don't get poetry.
I've said enough.
I just want my fucking face back.
Yeah, that's basically all he gives her. And then, she was screaming at the top of her lungs now, but she didn't care. The store owner backed away, motioning with both hands for her to be quiet. Then suddenly, his eyes opened wide in fear. This seems like another thing that maybe bring up at the top of it. Shh.
Don't make a lot of noise. Maybe mention that. Carly Beth followed his gaze to the display shelves. Oh! She uttered her startled cry of horror as she saw the rows of faces all begin to move. Bulging eyes blinked. Swollen tongues licked at dry lips. Dark wounds began to pulsate. The heads were all bobbing, blinking, breathing. What is happening? Carly Beth cried in a trembling whisper. You've awakened them all, he cried, his expression as frightened as hers. But... Run, he screamed, giving her a hard shove toward the doorway. Run!
Ooh, run she does.
Bum, bum, bum.
Now Carly Beth hesitates. She looks back to stare at the heads bobbing on the shelves. Fat, dark lips began to move, making wet sucking sounds. What the fuck, R.L. Stine? Crooked fangs clicked up and down, ugly.
Is this a horror story or a porno?
Ugly, inhuman noses twitched and gasped air noisily. I love it when he gets on a roll here and just starts having fun with shit. The heads, two long rows of them, throbbed to life. And the eyes? The blood-veined, bulging eyes, the green eyes, the sickly yellow eyes, the bright scarlet eyes, the disgusting eyeballs hanging by threads. They were all on her. Run! You've awakened them! The store owner screamed, his voice choked with fear. Run! Get away from here! Carly Beth wanted to run, but her legs wouldn't cooperate. Her knees felt wobbly and weak. She suddenly felt as if she weighed 1,000 pounds. Run! Run! The store owner repeated in a frantic cry. But she couldn't take her eyes off the throbbing, twitching heads. Carly Beth gaped at the hideous scene. Gaped. God damn it, guys. I wanted to say gasped, but it's gaped. I don't like that.
After throbbing, twitching heads and then gaped, it just, oh my God. Okay.
Got me hard there. All right. I mean, it didn't. It got me good. It didn't get me. God damn it. This is gets fucking worse. Carly Beth gaped at the hideous scene, frozen in terror, feeling her legs turn to jello, feeling her breath catch in her throat. And as she watched, the heads rose up and floated into the air. Run! Hurry! Run! The store owner's voice seemed far away now. The heads began to jabber in rumbling, deep voices, drowning out his frantic cries. They murmured excitedly, making only sounds, no words, like a chorus of frogs. Up, up they floated as Carly Beth stared in silent horror. And this guy just keeps yelling, run, and she keeps not running. But then finally, she does begin to run. That felt like it took about 30 minutes of him just screaming, run, would you, dog, would you goddamn run? And she being like, I don't know how legs are even attached.
I mean, I'm not even wearing my own face right now.
Yeah, I don't know. You think these are my legs? But she does begin to run. And it does describe that as she's running, she feels the cold air on her, specifically monster face. Thank you, R.L. Stine. But the flying heads are chasing her. It's described nicely as a ghoulish parade. And then the fog of fear kind of dissipates and she thinks, symbol of love. That's what I need. That's what he said. I've got it. I'll go get the plaster of Paris head that my mom made, because apparently she made this vile, hideous thing she was going to leave on the mantelpiece. She made that out of love. That's a symbol of love, right? Am I doing it right? So she heads back to where she thinks she stashed it near that hedge. So she gets where she thinks she's close. Her eyes darted frantically from yard to yard. Behind her, she saw the heads had swarmed together like buzzing bees. They had bunched together, grinning now, grinning hideous, wet grins as they prepared to close in on her. I've got to find the head, Carly Beth told herself, struggling to breathe, struggling to keep her aching legs moving. I've got to find my head. The rumbling, jabbering voices grew louder. The head swarmed closer. I just love that she's out there screaming, I've got to find my head. but she does, she runs to the hedge where she's like, this is pretty much it. Yeah, this is right the where hedge. I was acting like an asshole. Yeah, this is right where hedge. I think I left.
The hedge.
Yeah. Yeah. So she dives right in. It's got to be here somewhere, feeling around the ground. The head's gone. Dum, dum, dum.
She just needed to like turn her head a little bit, I guess, and find it. Yeah, yeah. Well, not turn. You know what I mean. She needed a look.
Yeah.
In a different place. Right. And she's. I'm gonna be honest. Storekeeper didn't give her a lot of instructions, and I think we don't see him ever again. But not a lot. Like she's just got this head. She's just got this symbol of love, and she's just like, is it like a crucifix? And she's like, holds it up in the air, like, this is a symbol of love. And the heads are just, all right, cool.
I'm glad that you have been loved. We are the unloved. Thanks for rubbing in our faces. Oh, boom.
Ba-doom. Got him. Got them.
But this is the response of these heads. The heads bobbed together. The glowing eyes stared at the sculpted head. They murmured excitedly, wet smiles forming on their distorted lips. Go away! Go away! Carly Beth, with no R's. Like, I speak without R's 90% of the time on this podcast. And then I'm just cramming an R in. Carly Beth heard them laugh. Low, scornful laughter. Then they moved quickly, surrounding her, eager to swallow her up. Bum, bum, bum!
Had her idea failed? Was that not a symbol of love? Because, again, it was vague. I mean, maybe the guy really did mean play some Huey Lewis, maybe play the power of love.
Maybe it is like the secret Christian message in there. It's like Christ's love. Like, you're supposed to actually go out there with, like, a cross. I'm like, I forgive you, heads. And there's actually this big Christian message that Arl Stein was trying to work in there. And they're like, no, make it the severed head.
And she, yeah, if it were me, I would have just, like, symbol of love. I'm like, oh, you want me to draw a heart in the dirt?
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't have, I probably wouldn't, I would have been like, fuck. Like, if it was 11 or 12, I'd be like, yeah. Valentine's I'd still be hearts? I still have some
wearing the mask.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Well, there was no time limit on, like, when to take the mask off. She could have gone years, and then she's finally like, oh, symbol of someone's love for me. That's what we needed.
She's working a desk job somewhere wearing the mask, like, oh yeah, I know. That's funny. Well, they close in on her, and she just gets this idea. She's holding the head above her head, holding her own head above her head, and she gets this idea, and she just slams it down over her own head, just sort of like, I don't know, there's no build-up. She doesn't really have, like, a conscious thought about what it might do. She just does it. She just takes the head, slams it down over her.
They do mention real early on that's hollow, and that's A, why it's so hollow, and why they can put it on the stick and everything. And it's life-size, as the mom pointed out, which doesn't mean, I think, that you could fit inside of it, but we're talking magic here, so I'll let you continue.
A little bit of magic. So she slams it down over her head, over her mask. So, like, a little mask on mask action. Say that 10 times real fast. And, you know, there's no eye holes. So she just only sees darkness. And now she just awaits her doom. Because she's like, well, I don't even know. That probably didn't work. So not really sure why I did it, but I did it. So I'm just waiting to die. And she even has a thought come across. She's like, well, I become one of the unloved now, which is kind of sad. And then nothing happens. Then she takes the mask off to peek around, like, what the hell's going on around here? And they're gone. That worked. That's all you needed to do. Now I wonder, if her mom had made her anything not mask-like, what was she supposed to do with it? Is it specifically a symbol of love that will fit over your face?
Rub it? Yeah, just
rub it over your face? I don't know. But then, you know, she's kind of like, oh, thank fuck. Oh, Jesus Christ. She feels something flap against her throat. You know, the breeze has picked up a little bit. And she's like, what the fuck is that? It's the bottom of the mask. It's come loose from my face. It's got an inch to it. It's got an edge to it. And so she goes to pull it off. The mask comes off easily, and stunned, she lowered it and held it in front of her. She folded it up, then unfolded it. The orange eyes that glowed like fire had faded. The pointed animal fangs had become rubbery and limp. You're just a mask, she cried out loud. Just a mask again. Laughing gleefully, she tossed it up in the air and caught it. It can be removed only once, the store owner had told her. Only once, by a symbol of love. Well, I've done it, Carly Beth told herself happily. I've removed it. And don't worry, I'll never put it on again. Never. She begins to examine her own face. She's like, am I me? Am I back? Seems like everything's normal. Seems like we're good. So she runs to her house, runs up to the door, excited to be herself again. And she knows she's late, too. But she apparently she has to knock on her own door, and she does. Noah answers, little 8-year-old brother. He looks at her, looks up at her face. He screams, take off that mask. You're ugly. Dum, dum, dum. Oh, shit.
Carly Beth is horrified.
Has it all been for naught? Does she not have her face underneath the mask? She never checked. She took the mask off, but what's under there? Maybe it's just flesh.
Yeah.
Like, their skin's gone, so it's just, like, the musculature. Yeah.
That or just the same mask. Nose. That would suck.
Oh, God. Just over and over. Or it's her face, but it's been molded into the mask shape. Ooh. Like, her face was just Play-Doh pushed into the mold.
That's where the UK cover comes in. That's what they thought.
Yeah. No, Noah's just being a dick. Like, she looks in the mirror and she's like, it's just me. And she's happy because she's got her little snip of a nose.
Whatever that means.
Still sounds weird.
Yeah.
That sounds weird. And I don't like the word snip lately for various reasons. But, like, mom's just like, all right, but seriously, why are we out so late? Because her mom's been pretty chill about this. She's like, it's 5 o'clock in the morning.
You trick-or-treated for 13 hours, young lady.
Where have you been? And she's just like, Mom, don't worry about it. It's like, where's the head I made you? And also, where's the broomstick? Like, what's going on? Like, this is weird. And why'd you wear the duck costume I made you? And it's like, it's ugly. So, Carly Beth is just like, fine. I'll tell you the tall, sad tale of Carly Beth and the journey that I went. And then from behind them, they hear Noah. Hey, Carly Beth, how do I look in this mask of yours?
Oh, shit. Bum, bum,
bum.
The end, man. Noah got fucked, dude.
He's not fucked. Okay, what did the shopkeeper actually say? He didn't say you can't take it off if you put it on again. He says if it attaches itself to you, you will never be able to remove it again. It took all night for it to attach itself to her face. Noah just put it on. Just whip that bad boy off of him again.
Does it say attach? Because I thought he was like, if you
It
were...
says attach.
Okay. All right. I'll believe you. I'm not even going to look back. I'm just going to believe that...
I am, because I have to prove a point.
Well, I'm happy for Noah. That's good news you're sharing. I'm not upset in the slightest.
Oh, I'm upset.
But I thought it was a great ending because, honestly, I didn't see it coming. I'll be honest with you. I didn't. I thought we were home for
However... Him. If it ever again attaches itself to you or to another person, it will be forever.
Oh, okay. Attaches it is. Well, good. Whatever that might mean to the mask, I don't know. Seems like it'd be pretty hungry for more face now.
Oh, there's a fright gallery in the back of my book. Fright gallery, The Haunted Mask. First appearance, The Haunted Mask. Other appearance, The Haunted Mask 2.
Of course.
Origin story, it has... splat stats, so strength, intelligence, speed, attack skills, humor, and evil for the Haunted Mask.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was last seen in Goosebumps Horrorland number 4, The Scream of the Haunted Mask.
Imagine that. I'll be dang.
Its hobbies and interests are wrapping its head around new concepts and new victims.
That's cheeky. Get it? So, what'd you think about the ending, though? Do you think that's fun?
Oh, yeah. This is...
Am I dumb for not really seeing that twist? Because I really thought we were home free. I was like, okay, I guess this will just wind up where we're good and everybody's going
to
be happy.
No. The very moment they say, if it ever attaches itself to you.
I forgot about it.
Or another person. Like the moment he said another person. Because like, is Carly Beth going to be that stupid?
I thought
not, because she's scared. I wonder if she's going to be scared of everything or if now she's like a force to be reckoned with. She's like, the monster was in me the whole time.
Yeah, she's going
to
go around in the duck costume just cussing out families.
Mm-hmm. Cats will start disappearing. What did you think of this bumper?
Yeah, I thought it was a real slow build a bit. We didn't get to trick or treat until pretty late in the story. I was really perplexed by the store owner. I don't know. There's something about that guy that I thought could have been better written because he had all the makings, like he's described as wearing a cape and being all mysterious, but he's very mum. He doesn't really make a lot of sense. There's not like a lot of logic to what he does. So I kind of want to know more about him and why he was so tight-lipped about this very serious thing for Carly Beth. Seems like he had more answers than he was willing to give, but it doesn't explain why he's so quiet about it. Unless maybe the heads don't want him to talk about it and they would have jumped off the rack and eaten him. I mean, that's...
It's possible. Well, he seemed like responsible for them. Like he was just like, I kept them here and like I tend to them. And like, who are the other people you're giving these masks to? Like, I never read... the sequel to this, so I don't know anything further about what he might be up to, or if he's like, is it going to be the same mask? Is it another one of the unloved that's out? Because there's unloved all out there, and they might not all be the same monstrous creature. Like they could all be different personalities. Like
maybe she picked the bad one and he couldn't remember. Like, maybe that's just like, some of them are bad, some of them good, but he's just like, I don't fucking know. I don't like them that much. They're the unloved. Like, I named them that. Yeah. That's the, why do you think yeah. I don't love them?
I don't love them. I barely like these things.
Oh, God, that is implied, right? Like, at the very least, he should be the one that's loving them. He's like, no, they're fucking hideous. Have you seen them? Like, oh, my God. Woof.
And we won't get to see the Haunted Mask again until next season. It'll come as book 36. Well, I guess no, the season after the 30s.
Wow.
We had a while.
Boy, I hope we're not canceled before then.
Oof. Might be if we keep this up. But yeah, I think overall I thought he was kind of the weakest part to me. I wish he was a little more fleshed out, but I was reading some trivia about this, and apparently this is, you know, I don't know when this quote was taken, but whenever it was taken, R.L. Stine said this was his favorite, one of the books of the Goosebumps series he was the most proud of. And to me, it doesn't stand out that much from the other ones I really enjoy. So I'm curious as to why he would say that. But I do like the twist at the end. I think that's fun.
So the reason why I like it so much is the... because of the fact, like, she pushes, like, the boundaries of what normally, like, the kids get up to in these stories. Like, even the hooligans don't, like, yell at adults or whatever. They run away from adults. Like, even the arsonists in My Spooky Neighbor or whatever, the arsonists still didn't, like, stand toe-to-toe with the Postmaster General. Like, whew, too much power. But, like, she's, like... She actually feels like a little dangerous. Like, is she gonna like take that broom handle to like that mom? Like, what's gonna happen? Like, is she gonna break it over her head? Like,
you're right. It did challenge me. Like, one of the few times in an R.L. Stine book where I was
when she choked Sabrina.
Like, yeah, where I didn't know. I was like, that came out of nowhere. I can't believe he did that. Like, that was. I thought that was neat. He kept me on my toes as an adult.
I think he did a good job of like balancing. Like, it's a kid's book with like.
What the hell?
And for the most part, everyone felt more normal too. Like the people in the book were fairly regular. Like, you know, there's characters in a lot of the books, like Sari and her uncle are just so like bigger than life. Like the Egyptologist uncle it's not her uncle or her dad. Like, he's an Egyptologist who takes his daughter into the tombs with him. And it's like they're very bigger than life. Whereas everyone feels like pretty normal, and like the family doesn't even seem that weird. Like, the mom's actually paying attention to her daughter and like not being a freak. Like, she's doing some annoying things, but like nothing fucking psychotic. None of the kids are that psychotic. Like, Noah's just a perfectly normal little brother. Like, I think that also helps, where it's just like
the worm in the sandwich. Steve was set up to be pretty vile.
Steve but like that still wasn't like beyond the pale for what's like you'd expect from a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah, probably not. But yeah, so Carly going at it with the like yelling at the kids in front of the mom. Like, I thought that was pretty intense, all things considered.
I do like that she did get her revenge throughout the book too. It wasn't just like, poor Carly Beth, who's like, oh, fuck these kids, I took their candy. I kept that candy, still got it. It's not like she gave that back to them at the end of the book.
I know. I do love the part where Sabrina's like, wow, you got a lot of candy. She's like, yeah, just hit a bunch of houses. And just really...
Some good ones. Yeah, they were mobile houses and walking around, and I just dumped it into my bag.
But yeah, there was another bit of trivia that apparently this particular book was inspired... by R.L. Stine's son having trouble taking his own mask off one Halloween. And I think little things like that are really interesting, because R.L. Stine, you know, we talked about in the Stine Tinglers, he would always have a little paragraph or two before he went into the story about what inspired it. And I love that, because he'll take, you know, just a very little thing where he's like, dang, is that mask stuck on you, Matt? Come over here, let me help you get it off. Well, that thing was on there tight, and something clicks in his head where he immediately has a 120-page idea about someone having a mask that they can't take off, and he's able to fill all that in, which I know that's how stories work, but for R.L. Stine, it's like this guy has written hundreds of books, and he can just pull an inspiration out of the most somewhat benign interaction and make it into a nightmare for a small kid, and I love it. So, how many bumps you giving it? How many, what's your rating for...
I would give it... I'm going to say...
I'm going to say 4 out of 5 heads.
Okay.
Because I agree, it was a little slow to start. Kind of in retrospect, it was kind of like how Stay Out of the Basement was in retrospect. Like, yeah, we really did just fucking run up and downstairs all book, huh? whereas just, I was looking at our summary breakdown. It's like, man, we spent 3 chapters just trying to buy that mask, huh? Like, and it makes sense that it takes so long, but I honestly think that storekeep just did not track. Like, is that the shithead face that murders people, or is that the one that likes oatmeal raisin cookies? either way, probably shouldn't give it to a little girl, but whatever.
Whatever, like, 60 bucks? 60 bucks?
Even if he was just like a little weirder, like, and just a little more oddball to explain why, he'd be like, I think I can trust a good kid like you. Oh, shit. No. Dave, bad idea.
Yeah, he needed something. I didn't even really understand why he like hung back just to tell her that he couldn't help her and then also not help her.
And then also sort of help her. Like, he never really made up his mind, I guess, if he was going to help her.
He could have just left a note on the door. Be like, hey, if you're the girl that bought the mask, symbol of love, catch you later. Like, that's all he needed to do.
Yeah, that would have been as helpful.
Yeah.
What? How many, what's your rating?
Right now, I'm thinking I'd give it 5 wormy sandwiches out of 7 wormy sandwiches. 5 out of, I always do the 7s. That feels right. It could have been better in some spots, but I did like it. The twist at the end really helps. And I thought her behavior while in the mask was perfectly described as being just not characteristic of this person, and to the point that it actually was kind of shocking while reading it. Like, holy shit, he went all in on this shit. And when she chokes Sabrina, like, are you fucking kidding? You already said that, but still, when I think about it, I can't believe that ended a chapter.
And the solution was just like, please believe me that I didn't want to help you. And like, I think it even, like, what stopped her was her friend's horrified expression. And she's like, oh my god, that's really fucked up that you, like, I'm sorry, I was murdering you. Luckily, your fear stopped me. Like, that's a nightmare.
I mean, if you were into it, you'd be dead. So,
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Anyway. Well, I think that's going to wrap us up. It feels good to be back. I can't wait to wrap up another season. We're going to get these things out in succession, and man, I'm excited to get back on the bump wagon, read some bumps.
Yeah, I can't wait to start reading them again too, because this was all from memory, if you couldn't tell. But
yeah, we knocked it out of the park. Well,
no, it was good to be back.
I don't know if we've even checked our email in a while, but folks, if you'd like to send us one, go ahead and reach out to the show. We got goosebumpspodcast@gmail.com. You'll know it's the right email address because you'll get tired halfway through typing it. That's wegotgoosebumpspodcast@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on the books. Give us your theories. Give us your experiences, something that spooked you as a kid. We'd love to read that out here, maybe on a bonus episode or even fit it into the show itself.
And if you'd like to reach out to us in an alternative mean, and you are a fan of Twitter still, you can find us at Say Cheese and Pod. Send us a message over there. We do check that. We also update when our episodes are released there, so check that out. That again is on Twitter at Say Cheese and Pod. You can also, you know, maybe head on over to the Polymedia Reddit. If you're a big fan of the Reddits, we have that is fairly frequently updated as well. You can communicate with us there. We're both on Reddit.
Yeah.
Occasionally. Well, you're on there a lot more than I am. I backed the dying horse. I put all my time into Twitter. see, Reddit, Twitter, Instagram. You can find us on a lot of social medias now.
That's right, yeah. Pop over there, support us over there. That's r/polymedia. You can also, if you'd like, support the show and the whole network of shows that you'd find over on polymedianetwork.com. Over on Patreon, that's patreon.com/polykill. Support us any way you'd like. We'd certainly appreciate it. And now, Dylan, I think it's time to introduce what we're to expect in book 12.
Of Fear Street?
Oh, yeah, of Goosebumps, yeah.
Oh, shit!
Samantha Bird is a klutz, an accident waiting to happen. She's the laughingstock of the girls' basketball team, and that mean, rotten Judith Bellwood is making her life miserable on and off the court. but everything's about to change. Sam's met someone who can grant her 3 wishes. For real. Too bad Sam wasn't careful of what she wished for. Because her wishes are coming true, and they're turning her life into a living nightmare.